Good day, friends. Again, we come to you, and we're still in the 16th chapter of the book of Exodus. Sometimes I think we carry too long on some of these chapters, and yet when I think of some of the needs today and these illustrations given to us in the Word of God in His dealing, in God's dealings with Israel, how open we should be to what God wants to teach us. I am fully persuaded in my own mind that this 16th chapter, together with John chapter 6, where our Lord is the living bread which came down from heaven, if a man eat thereof, he shall live forever, that the 6th chapter of John and the 16th chapter of the book of Exodus are to be considered, for the simple reason that most of us, just like Israel, are not satisfied with a divine provision for our daily need. Yes, we're satisfied to be redeemed. We rejoice in the fact that we're saved, that we have our sins forgiven. We even rejoice in the fact that our sins and our iniquities will be remembered no more forever. No more forever. Nevertheless, we balk and we murmur and we get discouraged and we get disheartened because of the path in the wilderness. There are many, many Christians today who need that intimacy of fellowship with God and with each other. You know, it's a sad thing to find lonely, lonely Christians. This was never God's intention, that any of His children should be lonely. I know you're going to say, well, the Lord has promised never to leave them nor to forsake them. That's true. But just the same, we need that fellowship one with the other. You remember in Hebrews chapter 10, where the apostle says, neglect not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and much more so as you see the day approaching. The more we see the day of the Lord coming, the more we need to have fellowship not only with the Lord, but with each other. And when I think of this passage in Exodus chapter 16, of how that God rained bread from heaven upon them, and for 40 years He fed them. Just think of it. 40 years He fed them. And I'm sure there was enough in that manner to meet every chemical need of your body. In fact, they had no doctors and no drugs. He was Jehovah Rapha, but He also gave them daily bread, heavenly bread, which was sufficient for every need of every day. And again, let me repeat a few principles here. Each one went out early in the morning to gather. That's the time to gather your manna. Don't start the day without Him. Don't start the day without the Word of God. And then each man gathered according to his appetite. That's what you and I do. We gather as we read the Word of God according to our appetite. Then thirdly, you are to eat all that He gave you that day. You must not leave it till the next day. It stank. So you eat, or you must use all that God gives you that day. He wants you to grow, and He wants you to become mature in your spiritual life, but you must use what you get. The more you give away of the truth of God, the more the truth of God lives in you, might be a better way to put it. The more the Word of God lives in you and me, the greater our appetites for that Word grows, and the more useful we are to the Spirit of God, that He might use us, find His channels usable to the reaching of our generation for Christ. But there must be that feasting daily upon the Word of God. See? And you must use what you get. I'm pressing this. If you don't use what you receive, you lose what you have. It dries up. See, friend, what I'm burdened about is that God's people might grow. If ever there was a time in the history of the Church of Christ, here in America, and for that matter throughout the world, where the people of God, men and women of God, are feeding on the Word of God. You know, I was thrilled. I don't know whether I mentioned this before or not, but I was thrilled with two young men who came in to see me. In fact, they came in every week. Just young Christians. And God had put into their hearts a hunger for the Word of God. Now, I asked them one day, do you read your Bibles every day? Oh, yes. Well, I said, how much do you read? Oh, we read the New Testament every week. I said, what? We read the New Testament every week. By the way, I was so glad they didn't ask me that. Now, I read my Bible. Don't misunderstand me. But I don't sit down and read the New Testament every week. I'm not surprised that these young men are being gifted of God, being used of God. They're both soul winners. I tell you, I would to God that every young man and young woman who professes the name of Christ would get down into their Bibles. You know, people say, I've had young people say, well, Mr. Mitchell, I don't have any gifts. How do you know you don't? You see, you're occupied with service instead of being occupied with Christ. You're occupied with yourself, your frailty, possibly your ignorance, instead of being occupied with Him. The important thing is your fellowship with God. But you can't walk in fellowship with God without the Word of God. So I'm going to pray that the Lord will put upon your heart and my heart an increased capacity for the truth of God. Oh, but you see, I open my Bible and it's cold and I get nothing out of it. Just you keep on reading it. Prime the pump. Keep on reading it. First, you know, you'll read more than you anticipated. I know that. Sometimes I'll hunt for the verse. I find the verse. But in finding the verse, I may have read a whole book through. That wasn't wasted time. I could have saved time by going to my bookcase, get a dictionary out, a concordance out, find the verse. No, but I missed something. I said, well, that verse is somewhere in Isaiah, maybe. Maybe I might read the whole book of Isaiah through and not find it. So I made a mistake. Maybe it's Jeremiah. It sounds like Jeremiah. I'll start and read Jeremiah. Why are you taking all that time? Yes, but in the meantime, I've read all Isaiah through. What I'm trying to get to your heart is, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Sustenance. Not redemption. Sustenance. By feasting on Him. Now, let me go on. From verse 22, you'll notice something, chapter 16. It came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said to them, this is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Now you bake your bread and so on and so on. And that which remaineth over you put to one side, and keep it until tomorrow. And they laid it up until the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass, there went out some of the people on the seventh day to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the Sabbath, that is, to go out and gather manna. So the people rested on the seventh day. Now let me just stop here for a moment. We've come to a very interesting portion of Scripture. This is the first time that the Sabbath day is mentioned since Genesis chapter 2. Do you remember Genesis chapter 2? The Lord finished all His creation, and He saw that it was good. It was very good. And the Lord rested on the seventh day and hallowed it. Now, there's nothing in the scriptures between Genesis 2 and Exodus 16, no mention made of a Sabbath day. Now, I'm not going to argue with you on the question that they must have had a Sabbath day. All I say is there's no mention made of it in the Bible from Genesis 2 to Exodus 16. In fact, there is no mention made of the Sabbath until God has Israel to himself in the wilderness, recognized as a nation, recognized as a people in relationship with God, having consequent responsibilities. It was interrupted in the garden, and it was instituted again in a wilderness. But you see, man doesn't have any place for God's rest. See, God wants man to have rest and fellowship. Man says, no, no. Now notice here, I have given you, verse 29, I have given you the Sabbath. It was a gift. It was not a law. It was a gift. It doesn't become a law until you come to chapters 19 and 20, when the law of Moses was given. It's not a law here. I have given you this day as a day of rest. Now they went out, some went out to gather. Some were disobedient and went out to gather the manna on the seventh day. There was no manna there. Why didn't God slay them? Under the law, they would have been slain. You remember in the book of Numbers, a man went out on the Sabbath day and gathered two sticks. He's going to cook his breakfast. He gathered two sticks. Any difference between him going out into the desert to gather two sticks or these Jews in chapter 16 of Exodus when they went out to gather manna? Any difference? Outwardly, no. But why is the man in Numbers stoned to death for gathering sticks on the Sabbath day? These folks have no judgment. I wonder why. Because in chapter 16, the Sabbath day was a day of rest. It was a gift from God. They should sit and enjoy their God, thanking him for all the provision he has made for them, for their deliverance out of Egypt, to thank God for bringing them through the Red Sea, to thank the Lord for provision for them day by day with the bread. But when you come to Numbers, there's a law now. The Sabbath day is not a gift now. It's become a law. And if it's a law, it has a corresponding penalty. And when Moses came to God, what shall I do about this man? Take him out and stone him. He's broken the law. The law says he'll be stoned. Take out and stone him. I want you to see the difference between grace and law. Now, I'm well aware of the fact, and I want to tell you, when it comes to the Sabbath day, if I may state in the book of Exodus, in chapter 31, remember when it's become a law, and I don't mind reading this to you, when it becomes a law, then you got a different, an entire different thing. Let me read. In verse 13, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the children of Israel, verily my Sabbath you shall keep. It is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. Remember that. You shall keep it holy. Everyone that defileth it shall be put to death. If any man does any work in it, that soul shall be cut off from his people. See, 6 days may he work. The seventh is a Sabbath of rest. It's holy, entirely for God. Whosoever doeth any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. Wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbaths for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. You notice that? The sign of a legal covenant with the people of Israel was the Sabbath day. And anybody did any work of any kind would be put to death. That's why in Numbers, when the man gathered sticks, stoned to death. Why weren't they stoned here? Because it wasn't a law. It was a gift. Now, I know there are people today who claim we must keep the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week. I've got no argument with them on that. They want to keep the seventh day. It's a day of worship. Let them worship God. But remember, if you come under the law of the Sabbath, the Mosaic law of the Sabbath, everyone who breaks that law must be put to death. It's a strange thing how we try to get round different things. We try to get round the Word of God to excuse the things that we do. It's a gift. What did God want? I want this people for myself. I want one day at least. I want them to give me one day out of seven for myself, where they'll glorify me, where they'll worship me and thank me. And my friend, let me tell you this. We ought to give him every day of the week. We ought to live every day for God. I don't know, that's the issue. I'm not going to take up the question of the Lord's Day or the Sabbath day. I'm dealing with this fact that God wanted at least one day from his people where they would worship him, where he'd be the object of their thanksgiving and their worship and their praise. Not a part of a day, a whole day. In fact, I believe the more we go into the Word of God, as I said a while ago, as we feast on the Word of God and feast on the person of Christ, the bread from heaven, I guarantee every day will be a day lived for God. This is what's pleasing to him. Not just one day. Give him your whole life. Give him your whole life. Do your job for unto God. Whatever job you may have, whatever work you may have, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all to the glory of God with thanksgiving. But what I'm trying to point out to you, chapter 16, they went out to gather manna. Why weren't they punished? It was not a law. I have given you, verse 29, see, the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. See. And let every man go to his own place and worship God. So the people rested on the seventh day. Now, from verse 32 right down to the end of the chapter, down to verse 36, we have the remembrance. I wonder if I could, before I take up this remembrance, by the way, 32 to 36, it speaks that they are to be ever reminded of God's faithfulness. And this was kept up for years. The pot of manna was kept for years, and it never stank. It was never eaten with worms. It was a memorial of God's divine provision for them. Oh, that we might live daily in remembrance of God's sufficiency for us. But I want to come back about this question about the Sabbath day being a gift from God. You see, it was not a duty to worship God. It was a privilege. And hence there was no penalty. But the trouble is, man doesn't prize God's gifts. He has no heart for God's rest. Yeah, verse 27. They went out on the Sabbath day together and found none. God don't want, they don't believe God. Man's desire for his people is to have rest and fellowship. This brings peace. This brings joy. It does something to your heart. Worries go out the window just to come in the presence of God. Spend time in his presence. My friend, why don't you? You know, I tell my students, do you believe that God can run your life better than you can? Oh, they say, of course he can. Then why don't you let him run it? Why don't we let him run our lives if he can do a better job than we can? I'm sure he can. Why don't we let him run it? Aren't we fools if we don't let him run it? Same with gathering manna. Same with feeding on the Word of God. We're just foolish. By turning our back on the divine provision for every need. But no, man spurns God's rest and God's fellowship. I say it again, man would rather have the flesh pots of Egypt than that which God provides. Oh, to be in the wilderness with God if need be. To feast on him. Now, let me just say this. Man did not prize God's Sabbath as a gift. He broke it. And I must say, man cannot keep God's Sabbath as a law. One only needs to read Hebrews chapters 3 and 4 to find that out. But I also read there is a rest to the people of God. And just as God ceased from his own works, we cease from our works, that is, works to be saved. We let God do the job. We let God live his life in and through us. And I just ask you, my friend, have you entered into the rest of God? What do you know about resting in him? Oh, it's a wonderful thing. If I can give you a personal testimony, it's a wonderful thing to have that peace, that rest, that whatever comes, whatever goes, however which way the world goes, neither here nor there, God is working out his purpose and his plan in your life and my life. All he wants is you, and all he wants is me. Now, may the Lord bless you today, and please go on with the Lord. We might be to the praise of the glory of his grace. May he bless you today abundantly.